listening to the incredible music from the musical Once. We will talk about that in just a moment. As Maggie Mancinelli Cahill takes her final bow as producing artistic director at Capitol Rep Theater, we're marking the end of an extraordinary era in Albany's art scene, and we're thrilled to have her on the roundtable this morning. Think of this as her exit interview. After more than 30 years of shaping the creative voice of the Rep, Maggie is stepping down, leaving behind a powerful legacy of bold storytelling and artistic excellence, from championing new works and building regional partnerships to guiding the Rep into its state-of-the-art new home. Her vision has touched thousands of artists and audiences alike. The final production is Once. It's her final production as producing artistic director. It closes on Sunday. Maggie joins us this morning to discuss her journey, her impact, what's next, and what she hopes for the Rep in the future. And it's a great pleasure to welcome our dear friend Maggie Mancinelli Cahill to the program. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Joe. I listened to that introduction and I think, who's he talking about? It's not me.
Well, it doesn't seem you and I have started in our positions roughly at the same time.
I know.
And it doesn't seem like 30 years to me. I'm assuming it doesn't seem like 30 years to you.
No. And yet some days it seemed like more than 30 years.
God, yes.
But no, it doesn't. It doesn't seem at all like 30 years.
And as far as when you came into the Rep, what was the state of things as you took over at that point?
Well, I love the Rep. I love everything about it. And I moved to Albany from New York City with my husband and Andrew, who was at the time almost 4 years old. And 2 weeks after I was there, a sheriff came to put a padlock on our door. And I said, oh no, what? What's happening? And he explained to me that we owed some money and that we hadn't paid and that we needed to pay it and that he had instructions to padlock our door. I tell you this because I have learned early on to throw myself at the mercy of certain people. He was certainly one of them.
Yes.
And he felt for me, and he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to say that I was late and I have to come back tomorrow. In the meantime, here's what you need to do. And he gave me a plan to get out of this situation, and which I followed immediately.
Now, how long had Cap Rep been around prior to your arrival?
Well, Capitol Rep started really earlier than even 1981, which is when they opened at the old Cash Market. But they had been around since about 1975 as the League of Theater Artists. And it was a band of really very fine writers and artists, actors, who had made up that company and moved to Albany and founded a professional theater. By the way, we're kind of very specific about what that means. That word professional means that we are a company where our actors are members of Actors Equity. That's
right.
Actors Equity insists on this, you know. So they moved to Albany to give the community good work that you could find here at home rather than have to go to New York, for example, and they were very successful at that. They were less successful at money raising. So when I came to the Rep, yeah.
In the arts? Really?
I know, and it's so shocking. I know you know nothing about that, Joe.
That's,
you know?
Who knew?
I mean, sometimes I just listen to the fundraising here at WAMC to go, oh, it's so good to know there's other people in the world who are in this situation.
But don't you wish you could just go out in a street corner and just beg for a week and make $1 million?
The $1 million part has a lot of appeal to me. Okay.
Yeah, I would think it would. But so you come in, and here was my first thought. I don't know if it was my first thought, but there was a moment when I realized, as you were doing your thing, what really struck me was that you seemed to very quickly to know the space, that you were very aware of what that space in that old theater was, what it is, and what you could do with it, and really that it was somewhat limitless.
I do think that you're talking about the physical space, and
yes.
I would also like to talk about the community space.
Oh, sure.
Because I want to make sure that I say this several times today. The community is who got Capitol Rep through, not Maggie. I learned early on that you can't get through on your own. It takes a village in this case, and I have always been very lucky to have people around me who were who would soldier on, and that's the board. I just want to make sure I say it several times.
Agreed, but you also need a great shepherd.
Well, okay, I loved the space of Capitol Rep, the old Capitol Rep, and I love, of course, our new Capitol Rep. But I recognized right away that through limitation, isn't it, that you really become very creative.
Yes.
There wasn't one right angle at the old Capitol Rep, not one. So when a designer came in and thought, you know, oh, here, I'm going to be able to make a box and very nice and neat. No, you were not. And so it really helped us forge a lot of creativity to make this space work, transform, surprise people. And I thought that was really important in the work. I thought it was critical.
And then there's I think the other part here that's very important is that you have these two incredible roles. I mean, there is the artistic director aspect of what is going on the stage, how that should look, what that should say, and how that's going to keep audiences coming in. And then there's also keeping the place afloat and making sure that the padlock's off the front door.
That's right. And balancing those two things has been a large part of what, you know, I've tried to do. Look, I feel very lucky. Very few people in America can say that they live as artists. You know, it's why I felt like it was so important to really create a home for really spectacular artists.
Yeah.
To be able to pay people living wages so that they could work in an artistic environment, that we could welcome people in, and the best. I mean, we've had some of the very finest people, you know, that have been in Broadway shows and all over the world doing theater. For me, my role as artistic director was to make sure to be welcoming. My role as producer was to work with the board and you know, business partners and the community to say, come in and be a part of what we do. I really feel like that is what a producer does. You don't say, please give me some money that you'll never get back. You say, please invest in the artistic life, in the emotional life, in the intelligent life of our youth, of our citizens. Let's come in together and have a great experience in all of these different ways. What a lucky person. What a great job I have.
And to do what you love. I mean,
you
gotta love it. Right.
I love it. I've always loved storytelling. I wanted to be an English major, not a theater major.
This
you know.
Better.
And well, and I fell in love. The first classic book I read was Cervantes, you know,
oh,
Man
really?
Of La Mancha. Yeah. And then it was so cool for me as a kid to find out, you mean they made a play about this? It's a musical? That's really cool. And I think it was then that I connected literature and theater, although, you know, I wasn't really interested in musicals, but I was very interested in 3D versus 2D of a book.
You have done something at the Rep that I think in other there are other places where this is done, but it's rare, and I think it is beautiful when it happens. When you can take on new works, you can champion new works, you can bring new works to the theater, and you can also sell out a house because people trust you. They don't know the work, they don't know the playwright, they don't know what it's about. They don't even really know anything before they buy the ticket, but they trust the Cap Rep name, they trust you, and they trust this organization that when they put down the money, it's going to be an enjoyable evening.
Well, I think what people know is that they will see a quality production.
Right.
And sometimes new work is, something people love, and other times it's stretching someone's experience in the theater. And that's important, too, because, you know, you don't want same old, same old. We want our brains to be able to expand, and we want our brains to be able to expand through, like I said, communal experiences where you can actually talk to the person next to you and say, you like that? Are you kidding? That other one I saw was much better than this. You know, blah, blah. And then you go, yeah, I want you to talk about it. I want you to be there. I want to stimulate you through, you know, whatever. But I want to talk about New Work for a minute. I think New Work is a place where we're going to see Capital Rep grow. You know, my successor is Miriam Weisfeld. She's the current artistic director up at ATF. Adirondack Theater Festival, and she has a great knowledge and experience with New Work. And so I really feel that our New Work is a place where we're going to see growth for Capital Rep. And I'm very excited about that. I think that is really, really exciting.
Maggie Mancinelli Cahill is our guest on the roundtable. She is stepping down from her role at the Rep after 30 some years. And it's when did you feel that it was just time?
Well, I really wanted after COVID. If we hadn't had COVID, I probably would have done this a little sooner.
Yeah.
But because of COVID, I was selfish. I really wanted to get into our new theater. It's beautiful. I wanted to direct on that stage. We had spent a lot of time, you know, fundraising for a new building, and I wanted to be able to take advantage of that. So, but I think it was when my son announced that he was getting married.
There you go.
And when he announced that, I was so happy, and I love my daughter-in-law. I love her. It just was a phase that came to light. All of a sudden I went, it's a different time.
A passage.
Yeah. And, there have been a lot of times in my life where I've struggled to be able to travel and get places where, I would have liked to have been because of the responsibility of the theater, frankly. It is something that I carry with me. And people who know me know that, I have insomnia, and I think about these things, and I worry, and I say, where is it written that, tomorrow will be a new day for the theater? And I would like to do less worry. And by the way, Philip Morris always says, Maggie, stop that. He's the CEO of Proctor's for everyone.
And right,
we're a part of the collaborative.
And
he is wonderful, and he has helped me to not sweat the small stuff so much. I'm a great sweater of small stuff and big stuff. But it doesn't matter. I carry this responsibility with me every day. So I'd like to see, I wonder what life would be without that every day.
but it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong here, it seems unfathomable. Knowing you as I know you, it seems unfathomable to me that somewhere along the line we're not going to hear that you are directing a show or working locally.
Yeah, look, I have been working since I'm 16 years old.
Right.
That was a mere
Doesn't
few
matter.
Years ago.
Doesn't
right.
matter, Maggie.
Yeah, I've been working a lot, and I can't imagine not working. And I thought about, what would I like to do? I do not have firm plans. I'm telling you that now.
Sure.
I don't want to move to California where my son lives. Everyone thinks I do. I don't. I would like to have a voice in the arts. I would like to be able to advocate for the arts in a way that I think we don't have enough voices right now talking to people who we should be talking to. I would like to do that.
So expand a little bit on that. What do you mean by that?
How
does that look in your mind?
It looks like being able to be in a position where I have a voice to be able to talk to people who have the ability to help the arts.
Yes.
And might not know that helping the arts means commerce and and help for young kids who can't read and all these other things that the arts do, that it goes away when we listen to the headlines that we have right now. People aren't talking about what the arts can do. They're talking about the arts like it's a drag on our society. Well, it's not. It's part of what makes us rich humans. And I mean enriched humans. It makes us smart. It makes us feel. It makes us empathetic. It helps us live. You know, it helps us problem solve. And goodness knows we have that. So I feel someone needs to say that more. I don't know what that means for me. I just know I would like to be in a position where I could do that.
But the arts, it seems, have always been sort of the bastard stepchild, and
yes.
As you say, not a drag necessarily always, but yeah, it's like, oh well, we need something to cut. Let's just cut that, as opposed to some other things that I think all of us could come up with a list pretty quick. But it's fascinating to me that is the position that the arts have been in for so long and yet continue to thrive in one way, shape, or form.
I don't think people can really live without the arts. You just don't know it.
And, yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, there's been a lot of loss in the arts, and with the political situation, which, you know, I don't really want to get into, but I will just say, it's more important now than ever for the arts to be vibrant and to be in the community and to reach out to touch a lot of different kinds of people, including people in power. And so, you know, it's an important time for us.
You know, again, given that you and I started basically at the same time, I look at my career and you have opportunities and you can go elsewhere and you can do other things. One of the things that has always kept me here, besides a job and a good one, is we have the most incredible artistic community in Albany and in the surrounding areas. I mean, not to mention, I mean, this includes the Berkshires and and the Hudson Valley and so forth, Saratoga. It is an embarrassment of riches, and it's beautiful what all of you have done, together and apart of keeping that alive.
I agree. You know, I'm an Army brat, but I grew up primarily in Denver. But I would always look to this area, Williamstown, you know, it was the city on the hill for theater and everything that the artists who worked there, the plays that were done, the whole mindset of keeping, you know, American classic theater alive was in Williamstown. When I did grad school work at Columbia and then worked in New York for a while and then came here, I loved it. I felt like I had actually gotten to a place where the arts were respected, where they were plentiful, and where we had people who really understood the importance of the arts. By the way, I built my career still believing that. I still believe that. And I believe it of our community.
And I mean, I think... Sure. Some of it has to do with the proximity to New York City. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
But with that said, it doesn't have to be the way that it is, and it is, which is wonderful. When you look back in the productions, are there ones that stand out that you're just like, oh, damn, that was really good work?
Yeah. I have favorites, and they might not be. Other people's favorites, but I look back on a play called Syncopation, which was Alan Nee's play about ballroom dancers, a butcher and a Catholic girl that wanders into his, you know, he answers an ad as a ballroom dancer. And together through dance, they fall in love. I love that. Now, you might think, well, Maggie, you're doing a play right now, once, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, somebody falling in love through music. I love plays about transformation. I think that transformation through the arts, maybe there's a theme here for you, Joe. This is something that I really love. It's in my heart. It's part of me, you know, it's transformed me. So I like that. I love Terra Nova, which was the story about, you know, Scott and the search for the South Pole. I love doing that play. I mean, here we're doing a play about the South Pole on an absolutely abstract set with no scenery. It was absolutely wonderful, and the cast was amazing.
I think of, you know, the opportunities that it gives people, and even when I was, I had a lot of theater in my life growing up, and I continue when I was here, but the first August Wilson show I ever saw was Fences at Capra.
Oh, yes.
With John Amos.
Yes.
And that, I think that transformed me. I mean, that was like, oh my God, this is what theater can be.
Yeah. Can I tell you a funny story?
Yes, absolutely.
So I was interviewing for the position of producing artistic director. And as part of the package of materials the Capitol rep sent me, it was that video of Fences. And that was done 2 years before I came here. I watched it and I said, I have to work at this theater. It was so magnificent, that whole production with John Amos. It was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, it was incredible. And the other thing, and you directed Our Town.
I did, yes, with John Fielding.
Yeah, John Fielding, who was the voice of Piglet
for fun.
Right. And that was incredible. But those classics, of course, work with William Kennedy.
Oh yeah, that was stunning to be able to work with Bill on Grandview. That was a long time ago, 1996, and it started a friendship that I still have today with Bill. He's a wonderful guy and a brilliant artist. That was just so incredibly fun. Thing about Our Town, a funny thing, is that we had kids in it, you know, who played the baseball players of the town and stuff. And one of them, Dan Costello, is in Once. And he's a New York musician, actor, and now he's in Once all these years later. It's really stunning how this all comes back.
Once, it seems like a great show to go out on.
Oh, it's a wonderful show. It's a wonderful show because of the people who are in it, and the designers and people around it are stunning. And they've been so incredibly helpful. But the musicianship, Freddie Ramirez's choreography, it was the hardest play I've ever had to prepare for. And people are shocked when I say that. But I go, well, it's, you know, to move musicians around with a, you know, cello strapped onto you, you know, it has its ins
moving
and outs,
musicians.
You know? Yeah. So it was wonderful, though.
Well, you have until Sunday, right, to see it?
Yes.
Sunday the 10th.
Yes.
And I hope people go and enjoy it. Beautiful piece and at the beautiful theater. And of course, get to see you in the Swan Song. Maggie, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is. I know we'll be talking again in the future, but I really do appreciate all the great work that you've done and that you've done for me personally. Personally, the nice things that you have done and the wonderful support you've given me, and I thank you on behalf of the community for the beautiful work you've given us.
Joe, you are awesome. You are the most educated and well-informed person that I speak to, you know, about the arts, and I love every minute of coming and talking with you. Thank you.
Well, bless you. Thank you very much. Maggie Mancinelli Cahill will be taking her final bow Sunday, August 10th, for Once. You can find out more at therep.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.